This is Radio Superior 1933, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1933. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1933. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
Welcome, friends, to Station KUWS, the voice from the head of the lakes. It's Wednesday, November 29th, 1933, and folks are getting ready for Thanksgiving tomorrow. This is your announcer, Jack McKenna, speaking. Ray Paulson will be in with the sporting news. Harriet Farag will have all you need to know about Thanksgiving celebrations. And, of course, the People's Meat Market's 5 o'clock news with Lou Martin. People's Meat Market at 1023 Tower Avenue in Superior, with choice roast beef cuts at 14 cents a pound. And remember, they deliver. Now, here's Lou Martin with the news. Hiya, Lou. Looks like more people will have reason to give thanks this year.
Well, you're right, Jack. It looks like the best Thanksgiving that we've seen in 4 years, since the Wall Street crash in 1929. Leading tonight's news is an effort to get the federal government's New Deal program to build a tunnel connecting Duluth and Superior. Port commissioners in Duluth and Superior adopted a joint resolution today asking the Roosevelt administration's Public Works Administration to extend $3,700,000 to build a tube under the Twin Ports Harbor. Superior Port Commissioner Director J.T. Dolan says the need for the tube is more important now as the government debates building the St. Lawrence Seaway, which would open up more business and traffic to Duluth and Superior. The resolution says a tunnel would be the best way to put men back to work, since it would require a lot of labor and would take years to build. Dolan also says the resolution would ask that the government buy the interstate and the Arrowhead bridges connecting the Twin Ports so that current owners wouldn't suffer from a no-toll tunnel. President Roosevelt wants proposals for civil works projects that benefit communities and puts the unemployed back to work. Two lynchings of Negroes in different parts of the country have been reported this week, the latest in St. Joseph, Missouri. A mob of 7,000 men and women stormed the county jail last night, captured and beat 19-year-old Lloyd Warner. Mr. Warner was accused of assaulting a white woman. He was hanged from an elm tree and his body was doused with gasoline and burned. This Missouri incident follows vigilante action Sunday night in San Jose, California, involving two men who confessed to the kidnapping and murder of a white woman. California Governor James Rolfe has publicly come out in favor of that lynching. Missouri Governor Guy Park is against any mob action, saying that there is never any justification for lynching. Well, in local news, a Superior bank may reopen. The New Deal's Reconstruction Finance Corporation to help failed banks reorganize says it's possible the United States National Bank in Superior may be rescued. United States Bank and the American Exchange Bank in Superior have been closed since President Roosevelt ordered all banks to stop doing business last March. While other banks reopened within 3 weeks, these banks were declared insolvent. People with money in those banks have been unable to get anything back so far. The city of Superior had more than $450,000 in those banks. Superior has issued scrip instead of money to pay people and local vendors. And now Mayor Fred Baxter says that the RFC is sending the city $180,000 redeemed from United States National Bank and will begin allowing people to come forward to redeem their scrip for cash. Mr. Baxter says the money will be given back in the order it was paid out as scrip. Ironically, today is payday for city employees, and the city treasurer, William Keough, is paying people with scrip. Mr. Keough expects this will be the last time that city workers will take home scrip instead of cash. People's Meat Market news time is 5:05. Jack McKenna has a word from our sponsor.
Thank you, Lou. People's Meat Market is our sponsor here. 1023 Tower Avenue with big bargains today, tomorrow, and Friday. Listen to these prices. Butter, clover bloom, a pound, 21 cents. Lard, all you want, 4 pounds for a quarter. Herring, herring, fresh and special, 8 pounds for 25 cents. A beef roast choice cuts, a pound, 14 cents. Is there no end to this? Well, apparently not, because picnic hams are selling for just 7.5 cents a pound. Now, if you'd like more ham for your Thanksgiving meal, here's skinned ham, large, whole or half, per pound, 8.5 cents. Notice to farmers, ship us your live poultry and dressed veal, highest market prices paid. Sam Titch is the buyer. That's People's Meat Market at 1023 Tower Avenue in Superior. Lou?
You could say that being out of work killed William Kochner. The Superior man was struck and killed by a Great Northern train just west of the Webster Chair Factory in South Superior yesterday. The 50-year-old Kochner had been applying for work at the Webster Chair Factory. He was also a former employee of the Great Northern Railroad. Funeral services will be held at the 59th Street Methodist Church on Friday, the Reverend Raymond Fleming officiating. Superior will pay for hospitalization for people on relief next year, while the Douglas County will take over the welfare program starting December the 1st. The Superior City Council voted last night to pay $12,000 to cover hospital bills for the unemployed for all of 1934. In other business, Councilman Hallam wants an ice rink built in his 10th ward. But the street commissioner, Fred Tomlinson, says the lumber will cost $65. In news from Shawamigan Bay, two Ashland men are headed for Washington, D.C., so they can obtain a charter to open a bank. Felix Penn and G.A. Carlson are officers at the Union National Bank. They hope to get a charter for the bank. When they do, citizens who lost money in the two Ashland banks, which went into receivership last winter, would be able to get 20 to 30 cents on their dollar back. Fishermen are busy in Bayfield. Boats are in and out of the harbor trying to keep up with the bigger-than-expected run of herring. Booth Fisheries has shipped 8 railroad car loads out in the past week alone. And Bayfield Fish Company and the Henry Johnson Auto Kunz and others are making daily shipments, mostly all to Chicago. The price of herring is better this year, and the run could be an extra bonus for fishermen, since the harvest in Michigan ended as lakes and rivers there have already frozen over. More men are at work this Thanksgiving of 1933 than in the past few years. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson reports that there's a reason for optimism this holiday.
It sure is, Lou. The year 1933 finds the people of Superior with much to be thankful for. Generally speaking, the city's health is good. The past navigation season was excellent compared with last year, 1932. The railroads have been and are busy. Deaths by accident have decreased. And to top it all off, the outdoor relief lists are shrinking away to nothing as hundreds of men get jobs under the Civil Works Program. Storekeepers report increased sales in turkeys, a true indication that families feel there is much to be thankful for. There will undoubtedly be oodles of cranberry sauce and thousands of pumpkin and mince pies consumed tomorrow, and strolls around the block to aid digestion will be a favorite pastime. Practically every church in the city plans Thanksgiving Day worship. Schools will be closed. Business will temporarily be halted. The courthouse and city hall will have their doors locked. Police, firemen, railroad workers, milkmen, bridge toll collectors, and a few radio people will be the only ones on the job tomorrow.
I'd hate to see those bridge toll collectors miss their turkey dinner, but sure be nice if they took a day off.
Do you have plans over in Duluth, Jack? And the ice road isn't frozen over the harbor yet.
They should build that toll-free tube, Lou. That'll be perfect until the days of flying cars.
Well, you've been reading comic books again, I can see that. One more story, Jack. A nice one that everyone can appreciate. And another reason we have to be thankful this season. Hoping to gladden the lives of needy children in the area, Superior firemen are putting out the annual call for toys to be repaired. The fire chief, Ole Norman, says the boys are getting an early start on their toy collection because they want more toys than ever. Chief Norman says it might be difficult to imagine a husky fireman threading a needle to sew a dress on a doll, But he says that's exactly what they do. He says the smoke eaters huddle in their 6th Street headquarters workshop, and they fix toys. So, good listeners, look to your child's playroom, up in the attic or in the basement for old toys that the firemen can fix up and make for a Merry Christmas for kids who aren't otherwise so lucky.
Hey, that's a great program, Lou. The Elks help distribute the toys a few days before Christmas.
Just another reason to give thanks this year, Jack, so that we have so many civic-minded people in Upper Wisconsin.
You got that right. You know, if it wasn't for my fear of heights, I'd have been a fireman. I always wanted to wear those backwards helmets.
And have a dog named Sparky.
And slide down poles.
And I'll bet blowing the siren is right at the top of the list.
But I hate heights. I'm not too crazy about fire, either.
Hey, that would make it tough to be a fireman.
Newsman Lou Martin with the People's Meat Market 5 o'clock news. Thanks, Lou. Looks like we could get a little snow this Thanksgiving. The forecast for this Wednesday, November the 23rd, 1933, from the United States Weather Bureau in Duluth, calls for cloudy, unsettled weather tonight and tomorrow, with some snow possible. A low tonight could dip to, say, 20 degrees, with a high tomorrow at 32. Let's get in that Thanksgiving mood, eh? From our wax recordings, here's the music of Paul Whiteman and his orchestra and My Blue Heaven on station KUWS.
And weather will fall, and evening is night. I hurry to my blue heaven. Da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da. Molly and me, and baby makes three. We're happy in my blue heaven.
Enjoyable musical interlude from Paul Whiteman and his group on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
And there's more reason to give thanks. You know, news just came in Washington on our Associated Press wire, Jack.
I'm all ears, Lou.
A lot of people would agree.
Funny, very funny, Lou.
Well, 43 civilian conservation camps will be opened in Wisconsin this winter, including many in Upper Wisconsin. Federal CCC Director Robert Flickner has released the list. Now, in our region, camps will open in Clam Lake, Loretta, Glidden, Morse, and Marengo. That's in Ashland County. in Hayward and Clam Lake and Sawyer County. There will also be 3 state forest camps in Danbury in Burnett County, 1 in Brule in Douglas County, and the other in Upson, that's in Iron County.
You know, there's a new attitude out there, Lou, that if a man wants to work, he will be able to get it. The job, I mean. It seems like it's been a long spell since that's happened. Hey, how about this for an appropriate number this Thanksgiving? Here's Ben Selvin and Happy Times Are Here Again on The Voice from the Head of the Lakes, station KUWS. The Thanksgiving sounds of Ben Selvin and Happy Days Are Here Again on station KUWS. Just think, Lou, in just 2 weeks, Prohibition ends. Wow! After 14 years, it will be legal to buy a highball again. I guess it's the end of the speakeasy.
Well, officially it will be, Jack, but I'm hearing from City Hall that liquor license purchases are still done in whispers.
Why?
Well, those years of speaking easy when it comes to liquor have caused people to talk in whispers about alcohol.
As if they were placing an order with a bootlegger or something. How about that?
We have Superior Evening Telegram publisher Morgan Murphy here with the guest editorial to talk about the demise of the speakeasy. Good evening, sir, and happy Thanksgiving.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you too as well. We're in from some big changes indeed. The coming of repeal ends a number of old problems and creates a number of new ones, but on no one does it place a greater responsibility than on the average everyday citizen who likes his occasional highball, cocktail, or glass of wine. There's no question, whatever, that it was public resentment over the activities of the bootlegger and his allies that was chiefly responsible for the voting of repeal. There were other factors, of course. Furthermore, it's an open secret that the bootlegger is not going to quit cold. He'll hang on if he gets half a chance. The bootlegger will get that chance if the average citizen concludes that it's cheaper and simpler to buy from the speakeasy than from the legal source of supply. But if the average citizen does come to that conclusion, he will be kidding himself very badly. By buying your liquor legally, you strike a body blow at the bootlegger. Instead of contributing to the upkeep of the underworld, you contribute through taxes to the support of your own government.
Morgan Murphy, publisher of the Superior Evening Telegram.
I also just want to put in a word for our firefighters, Lou. I know it's not easy to part with old toys because they often have wonderful memories attached to them, but think of all the new wonderful memories those old toys could create in the hands of a needy child.
I have to admit, I've got a worn-out old metal fire truck that takes me back to my childhood. It is very special.
I have a teddy bear. The fur is ragged, but I suppose those firemen could fix up old Teddy and make some child happy all over again.
You men know what you have to do then, don't you?
The mission is clear.
For the kids, Teddy and my fire truck will go to the annual toy drive.
I guess my work here is done. But good citizens, if Jack and Lou can part with their toys, well, then everyone else can make the same sacrifice. Happy Thanksgiving.
And to you, too.
Well, now let's hear from Frank Crummett. Three little words on Station KUWS.
Three words in my dictionary I never could see, but to my vocabulary I've added those three. I'm waiting for someone to say them to me. Three little words, oh, what I'd give for that wonderful phrase, to hear those three little words. That's all I'd live for the rest of my days. And what I feel in my heart they tell sincerely, no other words can tell it how so clearly. Three little words, eight little letters would simply be I love you.
Just enjoyed the music of Frank Crummett and Three Little Words from Station KUWS, the voice at the head of the lakes. Now it's time for the sporting news with Rapid Ray Paulson.
Boy, that Morgan Murphy is sure persuasive if he's got you giving up your old red fire truck. And especially Lou and his teddy bear.
Okay, Ray. What toy are you going to dig up out of your closet?
Makes you think I've got toys in my closet. Not everyone hangs on to their childhood toys, you know. In fact, I think most people don't.
Come on, Ray. You have something a cherub-cheeked boy would give a big smile for on Christmas morning.
Lincoln Logs. You know, I still fiddle with those old Lincoln Logs. I can build a great fort with them. It'll be hard to part with those, Jack. But you're right. It's time. Well, let's talk sports, fans. Superior East High Old Towners begin their new basketball season tonight, squaring off against the always tough Duluth Denfeld at Denfeld Gym. And Superior Cathedral is also gearing up for its new season, with Coach Lester McRae's proteges facing Cloquet in the first contest at Cathedral on Friday. Lots of Turkey Day contests tomorrow, sport fans. The big one is in Lincoln, as in the logs, between the Nebraska Cornhuskers and Oregon State. Other notable clashes will have Penn State against Cornell, Brown and Colgate in the East, and Virginia squaring off against North Carolina. Ray Somerville of Superior outboxed Stanley Dorgan, and Superior State Teachers College halfback Lewis Rich made his ring debut, taking it to Art Driesbeck of Brule. The Duluth fights were highlighted by Iron River CC Camp Negro Cecil Johnson, who outscored Jerry Davis of Cloquet. And University of Minnesota football coach Bernie Bierman will speak at the Superior State Teachers College Letterman's Banquet next month. Yellow Jacket coach Ted Warrett has named 22 Lettermen, led by Gerald Cook of Spooner, Harry and Sam Zalesnik, Captain Vern Wright, and William Finn of Superior. Well, I'm heading home to dig out my old Lincoln log, sporting fans. This is Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport.
Thanks, Rapid Ray. You're a good man. On with the entertainment, good listeners. And this is Grace Hayes on the sunny side of the street on station KUWS.
Walked with no one and talked with no one, and I had nothing but shadows. Then one morning you passed, and I brightened at last. Now I greet the day and complete the day with the sun in my heart. All my worry blew away when you taught me how to say, grab your coat and get your hat, leave your worry on the doorstep, just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear the pitter-patter, and that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover crossed over, and if I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Good listeners, the music from our wax recording of Grace Hayes on the sunny side of the street on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
Let me introduce community editor Harriet Feirig.
And let me ask Harriet what old toy she's ready to turn over to the firemen.
Well, it's hard to do, Jack, but I knew if you could part with your old metal fire truck, well, I would have to donate my sweet Raggedy Ann.
But you love Raggedy Annie.
And how do you know about Harriet's Raggedy Andy doll?
Lewis and I have no secrets, Jack.
So that's the way it is, eh?
Well, you see,
Annie and Teddy play together on the sofa while we listen to the radio.
Now let me get this straight, old pal. You've brought your teddy bear over to Harriet's place to play with Raggedy Ann?
Well, you see, Jack,
Jack, you're making Lewis uncomfortable. I do believe I'll just get right to the personal events, if you don't mind. Mr. and Mrs. George G. Newton, a frequent guest on this program, and Ernest Newton of St. Albans Road in Superior will be Thanksgiving guests of Mrs. S. E. Smith at the Hamilton Hotel in Duluth tomorrow. The Reverend and Mrs. Carlson and their two children, David and Anne Louise, will spend the holidays in Minneapolis, returning Saturday. In Shell Lake, the Pinochle Club was entertained Monday with a pancake supper at the home of Mrs. L. D. Garnhart. Mr. and Mrs. Englefield of Solon Springs hosted the Lincoln McKinley PTA. Mrs. Englefield was elected president to replace Mrs. Chester Shaver. The Daughters of the Union Veterans of the Civil War held a program Friday at Memorial Hall. Mrs. Anna Hard acted as hostess. 500 was played, and many women won prizes. Mrs. Mary Hoover, the patriotic officer, led a sing-along afterwards. And this is so exciting, Lewis and Jack. The two-act comedy play, Mrs. Oakley's Telephone, will be read at Superior Women's Club at Memorial Hall Friday afternoon. The players will be Mrs. Clarence Erlinson, Miss Kay Link, and Mrs. M.M. Calhoun of the Shakespeare Browning Club. I hear it's a hoot, boys.
Too bad it's for women only, eh, Lou?
Jack, be nice to Lewis.
Just kidding around, you know. Hey, remember to get those toys into the firefighters, folks. This is something that will make a difference in a kid's Christmas.
'Tis the season, you know. I just want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving tomorrow.
The last one for old Teddy at the Martin household.
Jack.
We'll be back at the same time, same place on your radio dial. For Lou Martin, then, Harriet, and Ray, this is Jack McKenna speaking. Happy Thanksgiving.
This is Radio Superior 1933. A weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson with research by Sarah Dorman. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1933 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior 1933. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.